morning and welcome, everyone. Today is May 17th, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for our weekly business session. I want to thank you all for attending. We're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, like we always do. So, Mr. Evers, please remove your hats. Others stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a pretty abbreviated agenda this morning. We have just the administrative calendar, one item, and then we'll go into requests and comments from citizens, which is item number two. Please just state your name and address. You can speak on any subject you like for the 3 minutes, and then we'll move into the consent calendar made up of various minutes and conclude our meeting. So item number 1A is approval of order number 2017-023 in the matter of confirming the sheriff's property sale for April 25th, 2017, accepting the sheriff's return on sale, accepting the sheriff's certificates of sale, authorizing distribution of proceeds of the sale, and execution of quitclaim deeds and quitclaim deeds. So, yes, I believe we have Mr. Watson here this morning, our property manager.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Watson, property manager. We had a very successful sale 3 weeks ago. It was conducted by a civil deputy from the Sheriff's Department. We had placed a total of 29 properties on the auction block, and 14 of those properties sold during a very active training session, so to speak. There was a lot of interaction, and it was a very positive and exciting event, to be honest. Out of these properties, some required some cleanup prior to. We had to spend some money that was reimbursed out of the property sale. In addition to that, there were two manufactured homes that we required a title transfer. So as far as the distribution on these 14 properties goes, approximately $157,000 went to our Parks and Recreation Department. $134,000 went back to forestry. Public Works had two parcels that they had purchased because of a works program, so that money had to be returned directly to Public Works, and that was in the amount of $40,000. In total, we brought in $822,000 on this auction. So I would have to say it was extremely successful. It's the third auction we've had within 12 months. The first two auctions moved much slower, but word is getting out. And of course, the market is heating up, and I attribute that to the increased activity. Properties that did not sell at this auction will be rolled over into the next auction, which I am diligently working to try to accomplish by the end of July, early August at the latest.
Excellent. Any questions? I want to thank you, your office, the legal office. This is something that's been accumulating over years. So unfortunately, through the tax process, the county, after a six-year process of where if somebody doesn't pay their taxes, the county is often forced to take these properties. Usually there's no known owner. They're attempted to be contacted or family for 6 years. An attempt is made, and up until almost the last point, you can redeem this property by paying off those taxes. Unfortunately, about three or five come to the county every year out of the 49,000 taxes lots that are in Josephine County. And then the county has the authority to auction those off by the sale of the sheriff's sale. And the revenues can go back to either the taxing districts, or the county has the authority to designate these properties as either parks or forestry. Those are the only two programs that the county has authority to designate those. And then those revenues go directly into capital improvements within those programs. We're blessed to have the largest forestry portfolio in the state of county-owned forests that we manage for a revenue stream to pay for county public services. County is establishing a forest trust to help pay for a long-term funding mechanism for the shelter element of our juvenile facility that will be reopening soon as a result of the levy last night. And so that'll be a partnership of hopefully sustainable funding into the future so that we can take care of our youth in the community. The revenue from this will afford the forestry department to go and invest in potentially new properties that are more productive in the future, generating potentially more revenue for the county. So it's pretty much a win-win situation, and it hasn't happened prior to Mike Watson coming on board at the county. We've not had a property manager for I'd say probably over 5 years before he came here, except for me, and I'm not a qualified person to facilitate that. We were doing no property auctions, we were doing leases and those kinds of things, but not to the level that Mr. Watson affords the county the opportunity to do. So it's a self-sustaining program. He generates revenue off of these sales, which pays for his job, and he facilitates a lot more than just this property sale. This is one element of our property manager's responsibilities. So I can't thank you enough. This is something that we're going to be ongoing. We have a backlog of maybe over 100 different properties that will eventually be put up for auction and return to the tax rolls and improve our community that we live in. Remove blight, as he mentioned. A lot of these have a tendency to have set fallow for a number of years, accumulated squatters or trash or inherited that from the previous owner, and we're cleaning them up, getting them back on the market, and people are improving them and in turn improving our community. So thank you so much, Mr. Watson.
You're welcome. One more thing I'd like to mention. All of these properties that were sold go back into the tax rolls and will receive property tax statements in November
of this year. If we meet that June deadline,
to be in the public's hands.
Great. Thank you so much.
You bet.
We're going to move on to item number two, which is requests and comments from citizens. Please just state your name and address. And Mr. Everest, you can go first.
Hello. My name is David Everest, Secretary of Mining and a member of the Gleason Mining District. Kirby Jackson's been working out a deal on me to move off my mining claim because I filled out something like 4 plans of operations, and well, I guess I'm not capable of understanding what they want, or some of the questions they ask, there's no way to answer because they would be construed as fraud. They ask how much my production level is going to be. Well, on a mining claim that's a placer, the courts have ruled that it's undeterminable on a placer because it could be over here, it could be over here. There's not going to be a given rate like a hard rock would be so much per ton. If I was to say I'm going to get a quarter inch per ton and I got that number, that would still be a fraud because of the court rulings, even if I hit the number. So, plus I don't know what that is until they let me mine and I extract it out of the ground. Well, they are saying I need a plan of operations to live there, not to mine. So, I'm being forced to move off until they see whether I need a plan of operations to mine, since I won't be living on it. I may not need one. If I do need one, Kirby Jackson's got Robert Shoemaker agreed to help me fill out the form and redo the form, so that I can meet it and get it approved. So meanwhile, I went down to Iron Gate Reservoir, where, wow, they don't have all the land use laws. Go figure, it's easier to do things there. Secondly, it's 2.65 acres. If I was to buy anywhere around here with the view that it has on it, it cost me $1 million. I'm getting it for $6,500, and it's a company investment from the company I own. So I'll be moving on to it temporarily, but I'm still keeping my residency where it's at, because my company owns it, I don't. So I'll be traveling back and forth because I have to drive to my client every day. That means I have 100-mile round trip each way, every day, to go mine my car. Is that fair to do to a guy that making move off his claim and the closest place he can find that he can afford is 100 miles away? Thank you.
Anyone else? 3 minutes. Public comment, Ms. Aaron.
But the 47 that really didn't want it, they're hurting today. Really, they're really hurting. I wish we had hearts. I wish we could look at things and be really open to what people said on the budget committee of last week or when it was, and I couldn't be here. I think they could, and where we could really draw some of this money. But it seems like people in government always want to take the simple, the shortcut. You know, life is not that way, and of course we know that life isn't fair when we look at what happened. A lot of ambitious people, and I feel like the opposition of people that would support the levy taxes were very organized. That is, and you're right, you're just very, very organized. And the other people who have to work for their jobs or have these their own businesses and have to juggle their time and their family and everything, there weren't that many this time, because what happens a lot of times, we just wear the people out. And I think we got worn out. And I had a lot of things this time around, and I couldn't be there. So here's where I look at what's going to happen in this county. I look at there's going to be less money for family vacations because it's going to have to go towards the taxes. People normally get haircuts, maybe won't be getting haircuts. Longer working days for some, less people, employers are going to have to look at it. This is just a reality thing, I think, which will happen. Might be more business out of sale. I mean, there'll be more vacant buildings or businesses used to be. That kind of goes along with higher taxes, more taxes. Probably be more part-time jobs. And the students back here, they're coming from the high school. I think most of them are from Grass Pass High School. You know, one of them was telling me that his parent voted for the tax. I'm really excited about it. But here's the reality of it. These kids are going to be looking for part-time jobs this summer. And there's going to be a few stores they won't be hiring because they just know they've got to set aside money. Or this is what happens too. When they go to the movies, maybe it's going to be $20 per ticket instead of whatever the $7.50. So it's always this consumer that's going to get hit. You know, the people that are at the landlord, they're going to have to offer those rents. And if any of these people out there renting, they're going to have to do the same thing. So in closing, I think what one of our founding fathers says, that when you look for liberty and you give up your security, your liberty for security, you get neither. Thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Forrest.
Larry Ford. I'm 36, started with Grants Pass. I'm going to take a slightly different text on our outcome of taxes. It's really not that much money you can figure it out per month. My wife's going to have to give up 2 cups of dust from it. I believe this tax passed for 2 reasons. One was the support of the active support of this board, which in the past hasn't happened, and I think that kudos to you guys for coming out and actively supporting this. And the second one is the increase in crime due to, and you people are going to say this isn't true, but due to the increased amount of marijuana bills, because that definitely has brought more problems to our county that you guys and the sheriff's department are going to have to eventually address. It's going to have to, I think. We're looking at changing the way the state pays the money back to the counties so that marijuana grows. But soon, being that the state's already said that they're going to pay themselves first, and it's a lot of money. But I think that this tax base is providers a little a long way to helping our county with the problems that we have, and they're not going to win. So thank you for your participation and support of this letter.
Ms. Brown, I understand your hand is up. You'll be next, sir.
Ms. Brown, 1415 Southwest Spruce Street, Grants Pass. Well, we passed a levy, and another levy, and a tax district. And of all of those, I think I'm going to pay a whole $150 extra a year. And I can manage that. And I think it is worthwhile to do necessary evil, to be able to put people in jail and keep them there until trial. This will be the first time that we have had the jail fully used. We have been able to fully use the jail since it was built. And that's a great thing. I have to disagree with Larry Ford about the increase in crime due to marijuana legalization. We produce lots of illegal marijuana long before we had medical marijuana. And we were producing it all along while we had medical marijuana. And my gosh, we're still producing it. Because there's a market for it in other states. And this is a situation that has to change. But when it's illegal, people don't report crimes against themselves when they're, you know, having illegal growth. So there are a lot more reported crimes than there used to be. Because some of the people being busted into are legal growers. And they do not take that kind of thing laying down anymore. And they don't have to go shoot somebody or bust into somebody's house and get their stuff back. Now they can call the police. They can call the sheriff. And now that we have passed the levy, they might actually get some service out in the county. Thank you.
Sir. Sorry, I don't know your name.
Brian Clark, 440. I'm in the road with Grants Pass.
What was your last name?
Clark.
Clark?
Yes. I'm the chair of the Democratic Party, and I just want to congratulate you all for getting that safety levy passed. A lot of Democrats work real hard on that. I know the council and commissioners have worked real hard on that. Thank you for that. To me personally, that's an issue because years ago, we had a guy when I wasn't home in my yard when my wife was home. 2 months later, he murdered 2 people in Colonial Valley. And when he was in our yard, there was no police response. Hopefully, we'll be able to have a police response and have more patrol deputies out there looking for people. And that's about it. Thank you much for all the hard work you guys did. And here to get this letter passed finally. It was somebody previously talked about people being worn down. I think the people worn down are the people that have been trying to get it passed for the last years and years. And we finally had enough and finally decided to step up and work harder to get it done and then finally got done. So thank you much.
Anyone else? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Comments?
Mr. Everest, I wish you the best with your endeavors. It sounds like it's a lot of work and a challenge in what you're dealing with. And I'm sorry that it's increasing your burden with having to move. I hope you can work things out. As far as the levy goes, I think I'm still in a state of disbelief. I literally was dealing with some aftermath of some meetings we had yesterday, and on the phone with some other business, and my phone starts ringing, and it's a police dispatcher calling me, so I'm kind of in old mode of, oh, dispatch calls, I got to get the phone right away. And the dispatcher was crying, and she said, is it true? Is it true? Is this really possible? Can I go home? And meaning that the sheriff's office is her home. And that's a big deal. It's a big deal, and right then my phone died, and so I had to drive to figure out what the actual responses were, because I drove down to the pub to see what the brouhaha was about. The Wild River Pub House, where there was a group gathering for lovely results. I wasn't going to the pub to see never mind. But to say the least, this was not a very organized event. This was this board giving information. I don't think you ever heard one of us ever say vote. I don't think you ever heard any of us say how to vote. We simply said this is what situation we're facing. And Mr. DeYoung made himself available to any public meeting along with the sheriff that was possible. Mr. Hare has been doing this for a while and has offered a lot of wisdom and guidance along the way that I am grateful for. And I have spent countless hours on Facebook trying to answer questions. But you haven't seen us advocating for a position. And you haven't seen a group. There was no committee. There was no organized effort. It's, for me, what felt different was seeing people in the community rise up and have a voice. And people in the community taking on the charge of saying, let's get information out there. And the reality is our job is just beginning. We still have to work with people on both sides of the opinion. We get to continue to look for ways to be efficient. We get to continue to look at ways of, do we outsource? Do we drop services? Do we continue services? We have an obligation to make sure that we are being intentional and efficient and effective with our services. And the reality is this isn't a fix-all. We never promised a fix-all. We said we can fund our jail and our juvenile services, and if that's funded, we can take the money we have and maintain patrol and hopefully, and increase it a bit. Still doesn't mean that we're gonna have a records division to process reports. It still doesn't mean that we're going to have a detectives division to investigate further crime. It's also next year's budget. So I just want to remind you that it's not changing today. It's not going to be, we still have a budget process to go through to approve the positions and then that progress of hiring and getting people out there to do this job. I'm certain we would love to post it today and say, okay, let's get to staffing, but there is a procedure to go with it. But I know that we never have said once that we intend for this to be the fix-all. This was meant to be one bridge that we believe we can get through the litigation that's going for our resource lands. We want a healthy forest management plan for our resource lands. We want to find ways of providing services that we can, and taxes isn't any of our first choice. We understand that. But having no services for keeping our community safe is also not an option. And part of living in a society is that we form together and we come together in a commonality and we provide for the community. And anyhow, I know that there will continue to be conversations and continue to be hearing from both sides of the aisle to say, how do we continue to try to hear from you and meet your needs? And anyhow, I just want to say thank you all for coming this morning and your comments. I appreciate that and your efforts.
Mr. DeYoung.
Yes, there's a couple of things, thoughts across my mind. And Mr., I hope you succeed. And it sounded to me like someone's going to help you fill that questionnaire out. So I suggest you do that so you maybe stand your own place out there. Okay. In regards to the 49% that lost this time, you know how many times I've been on that 49% that lost? And no regard from the other side, 8. And no regard to those people at all that wanted to actually have something in the lines of criminal justice, public safety, whatever you want to call it. There was no product for them to buy. It was just no, and that was the end of that. We'll go back to status quo. So I hear what you're saying about, because there are certainly some people that this is, it's going to be a struggle to come up with $9 to $15 a month. Is what a lot of them are, $9 to $15 a month. And I understand that. But one of the things is that this one did pass. I think that when we meet as a group, again, because we're not done with the summits, we're going to bring everybody back in, but we'll have the boxes checked that the jail's taken care of and that juvenile detention is taken care of and that some of the patrol aspects are taken care of by this level. So those are boxes and things we don't have to divert our attention to. However, we're not going to stop looking for permanent. This is a five-year levy. It's only a bridge. It was advertised as a bridge so that we can get, we looked at every other option and none of them would come into place by July 1. So this is the bridge that's going to be that continuance through July 1. But we're not done working here. We're going to have to work even harder now. And that's what we intend to do. That's what we promised during our election campaign. Is that we would look for a solution and we wouldn't stop till we found one. So, people are hit by crime too. You know, the folks you say that, you know, well, they're going to get hit with this tax bill right between the eyes. There's a lot of people that have been hit by crime. And there doesn't seem to be any regards for what their plight is. This also, this isn't right here in Josephine County. Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, and myself, more of those two than myself, but we do a lot at the state level. The whole state is watching this. You noticed last night on the news and again this morning on Channel 5, this was the lead story with Josephine County, not Fire District 3 in Medford or the Ivy Fire District. It was Josephine County's criminal justice levy. That was the lead story. Why? Because it's being looked at by the governor's office. Commissioner Morgan has a lot of times when she testifies and had no leverage because we are a peer that we don't want to take care of ourselves down here. All that just changed last night at about 8:30. So there's an awful lot more than just marching up and down with a snow new tax sign. And you're perfectly within your right to do that. And you guys ran a hard campaign. Appreciate that. But I just hope we can all work together now from now on out. And I would love to hear what your ideas are for fixing this. Because I don't hear a bunch of ideas. I heard some at our summits, and those are certainly still on the table. And that's what we're going to continue on. We're going to work hard from now on out. We're not going to sit back on our haunches and say, well, we got 5 years before we've got to do this again. That is not the case. You're not looking at a Board of County Commissioners that does that. And that was our promise to you during a campaign, and we're going to stay with that promise. Rita, thank you. And Michael, great job on the sale. Great job.
Commissioner Morgan?
There was one other thing that I forgot about responding to Ms. Brown. I was out in the Illinois Valley Monday, and I had a resident ask me to come by his property to show several of the neighbors and the growths that have popped up. And one of the sites had been clear cut and a big culvert that doesn't quite look safe. And either items, and I said, have you submitted it to the planning department? And he said, well, that property has a bunch of people that have a bunch of teardrop tattoos on it, and they're Mexican cartel. And if I report it, I'll be dead. And he was sincerely concerned for his safety for reporting some of the issues. And I think the state has heard some of that, and that's why Senate Bill 1057 is coming through the pike, because the state level is also concerned with the amount of illegal substances going out of our community. And once they get the regulations in place from the state, then you will see the legal revenues increase. You will see the legitimacy of the legal side of things stabilize, and the black market and such will eventually won't be regulated, and that won't be having the impact on our community the way it is. But the state is the one creating the regulations, and the state is the one that needs to enforce their regulations. And so we'll be, anyhow, I think that there are people fed up, and I think that there are also people legitimately working hard to do it right. and trying to be good neighbors. And unfortunately, we have that on both sides of many aisles. So anyhow, that was just that last thought I forgot about.
Anything else?
No, I will stop talking.
No, it's okay. Mr. Everest, I'd be happy to work with you as well, with Robert Shoemaker. I know him, and I think Wally Hicks would also, whatever we can do. It's a challenging situation in this day and age to mine. It isn't going to be like it used to be. It's going to be different, and those plans of operations are something that everybody's having to come into conformation on. I wanted to address Ms. Aaron's comments. Frankly, for me, I think it took a little courage to come here today. But I do appreciate your comments. I don't have to agree with anyone. I do appreciate people coming before the board and expressing those, and you have that free right to do that in a fairly protected time of 3 minutes, just as I have right now to speak. I would say that there's a cost to us not having passed those previous levy attempts, and this one was certainly, it was the right time, right people, and the right amount. Insurance rates have increased, and some of the arguments that you used about vacations and unemployment rising, those are hollow. Those are very hard for a foundation. We're talking about $150 cumulatively for one exampled property owner. That's not paying for a weekend to the coast at the Best Western down there. So I know that I have a friend who's looking to try to get down to a graduation. She needs $1,500. There is not a residence, not a residence in Josephine County that was impacted by the county portion of this proposal by that degree. So that vacation is maybe, it's not that amount. It's not $1,500. Nobody's got that. I'm almost 100% certain of that. Talk about the revenue that's spent in Josephine County. Do you know that $25 million is spent in Josephine County every year on lottery? Just lottery, an elected opportunity for people to gamble locally. We have more drive-through coffee shops in Josephine County than anywhere in the state, perhaps the nation. That's not a bad thing. It's just a choice. Law enforcement is a choice here in Josephine County because of our permanent tax rate at 58 cents. You're not going to get a fully funded, you're not even going to get a jail at 58 cents. We contribute everything to that, and we're going to have to shut it down. And that's the reality. What I see this as being is a new foundation for our community from which we can build a future on and have a direction. There are employers that I have spoken to personally who are not interested in relocating to Josephine County because of the fact that we don't have an adequate law enforcement system. And that is probably having more of a negative impact than the $7 million that we're looking to collect each year to fund this system at an adequate new foundational level. And so I think that is going to have the most pivotal impact on the direction of our community than anything we've probably seen in a decade. This marijuana industry, Ms. Brown, I grew up in the Illinois Valley. I spent a lot of time in the Tequilma area as a kid. This is dramatically different than it was when I was growing up. The people that are here now, they're not locals looking for a lifestyle that they're going to supplement with some income off of the grow in their back shed. These people are industrial. They're not from this area. They don't care about this area, those who are abusing the system. Out of the thousands that are participating in this, it's always a percentage, a small percentage, that are ruining it for everybody else and painting a bad light on a potentially positive industry for our community. And I think the community that is engaged in this industry is going to be the most effective in putting pressure on those that are their neighbors that are not doing a good job, that are going to bring the regulations here to Josephine County that everybody's going to have to abide by and make it tougher for the guys who are trying to do the right thing, poor gals. And so I think this is going to be pivotal for us. For our county and what we've done to get to this point, we are already in excess of 80% grant funded. So the discretionary opportunities that Ms. Aarons was referencing at our budget committee meetings that are open to the public, and I encourage people to attend this Thursday from tomorrow. 4 to 6 right here in the Ann Basker, the proposals that I heard at the first budget meeting were ideas of allocating funds that are dedicated to like our facilities. And utilities was included in that proposal. They're not things that are actually viable options. Not that there aren't, and we're going to explore those. But that's what I want to get past, is the rhetoric, like people aren't going to get to take a vacation, or people are going to lose jobs as a result of this. I want to get past that rhetoric and dial down to real dollars and cents that actually can make a difference in our community. Because anything less than that, and I really don't have time for it anymore. It's the time for us to move forward with a new vision for where Josephine County is going is now. And that's what people need to do. They need to do their due diligence about the opportunities that lay ahead of us, and put the rhetoric and leave it at the door. So that's what I want to encourage for this, a dawning of a new era in Josephine County. And I think we can come together. I think Commissioner DeYoung, leading this charge of reaching out across the aisle, so to speak, is a great opportunity for us to come together the way we've never have before. So, Mr. Clark, I apologize that I don't know you, didn't recognize you here today, but I appreciate you coming here, and I hope it's not your last time as a representative of the Democrat Party here in Josephine County. I believe we're all registered Republicans here, which is a really interesting extension of how the local Republican Party did not support this effort and came out opposed to it. However, there's a majority of registered voters in Josephine County that are Republican, had exactly the same opportunity to vote in this election as everybody else, and it did pass. And I think that's encouraging for me, knowing that my stance as a Republican may not be always accurately reflected by my local party. And that's a challenge for me. And sometimes that's my fault for not engaging as to the degree I probably should. I'm not sure who said it, but a different persuasion has to prevail is for good people to not engage. And that's been my fault over the last couple of years, and I need to lean into that effort a little bit more strongly. Commissioner DeYoung.
On a brighter note, the students are all here from Grass Pass High School, correct? Yeah. 50 years ago, I graduated from Grass Pass High School, so 50 years, you can wait, you can be sitting right up here.
Okay, I graduated 22 years ago from Grants Pass High School, and you don't have to wait 15
that's
years.
That's right. Here's another example of Grants Pass. I was on the student council and a juvenile delinquent back then, but I did turn my life around. But don't wait 50 years to get involved in your local government. School board, anything. I highly encourage you to volunteer for a school board or something that has a budget process and get involved in your government.
For a job shadow, I just attended that CTE. You might have seen me. I was walking around campus last Friday, and so there's going to be opportunities at the county to come in for a day, maybe do an internship. We'd really love to have not just sure. Grants Pass, but any of the high schools. There's a lot of bright kids out there. I was pretty amazed, and so we want to invite you guys in to engage in our county government and city government as well. So we're open. Our doors are open.
Yep. One of the things that you need to understand is that in order for you to kind of shape your future, you have to get involved. You really do have to get involved. I'm on the sunset side of living, and I want to hear from young people. I want young people to be involved so that I'm not making policy that you have to live by without your permission and your input. That's very important to me. So keep it up, stay with it, and you'll have some blank spots in your life, but I encourage you to get involved with something. It might even be the irrigation district or something. Some place that has a budget and a board. And, follow it, track it. It can be addictive. I've had people said, you like politics, and I love it. I love getting up every morning, and I worked for a number of years. I just retired from the heating and air conditioning business. But I get up, this has rejuvenated me. I get up every day looking forward to coming to work at the courthouse and working with these two folks and the whole staff of it. It's very, very, very rewarding. So.
And he even wears a tie now.
Yeah, and don't let the tie fool you.
We love having Commissioner DeYoung on the board. The energy that he brings is really great. And levity. I've been doing this a little while, even though I'm still the youngest of this board. I was 32 when I was elected. And the challenges that we've gone through in the last 6 years, they pay a toll. And they're not free. They haven't been free for anybody. It's been a little challenging being at the helm, and I'm pretty excited about where we're going, which is approving item number 1A, order number 2017-023, in the matter of confirming the sheriff's property sale of April 25th, 2017, accepting the sheriff's return on sale, accepting the sheriff's certificates of sale, authorizing distribution of proceeds of sale, and execution of quitclaim deeds and quitclaim deeds.
I move we adopt or approve the order number 2017-023.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? I've been sitting here for a while, and I still don't know why we list quitclaim deeds twice, but we'll figure that out. That's a question I need to ask. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item number 3 is approval of the consent calendar. Item A, minutes of the County Board of Commissioners.
Approve item 3A, the approved consent calendar.
I'll second his motion to approve.
It's been moved and seconded. A little chunky this morning. What else do I do? Oh, please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare? I mean, Commissioner Morgan?
It's contagious.
Seriously, I didn't sleep.
Your
fear.
All right, I'm going to say yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes, motion carries 3-0. Item number 4, any other business that should properly come before the board? Otherwise, we'll move into item number 5, which is matters from commissioners.
I am going to be attending the Wednesday Rotary Group today as they are celebrating 30 years of women in Rotary, and they're having their district president come down and speak. And so you attended the CTE on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The new Grants Pass High School career development teacher for next year, Shauna Bland, is going to go to that meeting with me today. So I'm continuing to look forward to how do we build opportunities in this community that we work as a community and not siloed in our individual arenas. If we're going to build our workforce and build our economy, so when you guys graduate, you have a job that you can work here or get a little more training at RCC or go off to college and come back and work here, we have to be working on that from the junior highs and the high schools and the business sector. You know, everybody has to be on board, and I'm looking forward to continuing to try to bridge those gaps and get those communication efforts going. One thing that I would like us to have an opportunity to talk about is not only with the internships or job shadows with high school students, I know that the Cape Junction City Council has a student representative liaison to their council.
Wow.
And that might be something we look for with an opportunity. The other thing is there's an opportunity to partner with Aspire for job placement for different things, and I would like us to have an opportunity to speak with that. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I think we've got a general discussion coming up maybe tomorrow, maybe, and so I think those are great points. I was, when I was in high school, I was the school board rep for a couple of years, the all-student body, and frankly, I found them kind of boring, long. Sometimes they go like city council meetings till midnight. So you got to find a way to get engaged in something you're passionate about. And you know, if you can do it at a school board, I really have to commend those people. You can probably handle it anywhere. But I would start out every time with a quote that I thought was relevant from the kids to try to convey the perspective of that I appreciate what they were doing, but really not to ever lose sight that it's really about the kids and ways that we can be better prepared for the world, not just through math and science, but the life skills that are necessary to be successful. And the other thing that I would mention about the CTE, a lot of those programs that are in there are, they're kind of reflective of what the community has available for different jobs. I know when we were talking to maybe 100 different students throughout the day, and people were asked, kids were asked, what do they want to do? I think even for me, when I was growing up, they were referencing what kind of opportunities they saw in their own community. And I think that's, it's not that it's short-sighted, it's just not the full picture. And it's really hard to evaluate where do you want to be when you don't even know what the options are out there. And even career development personnel, few of them have probably ventured out and seen the breadth of the country or opportunities from New York to D.C. around the world. I had an opportunity to do that in my life. And so, you know, there is a job, even if you have to create it, for anything you're passionate about. And you shouldn't see, not that it's a bad thing to be a teacher or a firefighter or a police officer. Those are all great professions, and we need those people. We need them desperately. But there are things, opportunities out there for professions that you probably never even heard of. So think about those things that you're passionate about, and you can drill down, research it, Google it. It's a lot easier nowadays than it used to be when I was growing up, not that it was that long ago. So try to lean into those opportunities and seek out the people who may have exposure to those kinds of things if you're interested in something. So I've had a number of kids through this job who have reached out and said, I want to do this. And they said, so what do I need to do to get there? And I've tried to steer them in that direction. Even if I didn't have the answer, I can usually steer them to where they need to go. So there were some, there's an issue, I guess, that's still lingering. I said I was going to make some comments from last week, given that the ones that I had prepared were probably not adequate for addressing the subject matter. We had a constituent who came before the board a number of weeks ago who I provided some guidance after they spoke, uninterrupted for their 3 minutes, as I tried to provide every time they speak, unless they vary dramatically from the rules that are enumerated at the bottom of every agenda we've had since I've been on this board. And we've refined those over time specifically, but it's really important that people understand that there's a significant difference in the First Amendment when you're coming before this board. State authority has been granted to every public body when they accept public comment to regulate on time, place, and manner. And that's really the governing thing that was adopted for marijuana. It's the foundation for why and how those pieces of legislation were crafted the way they were, because it's been reinforced through case law to provide for that boards and acting as the chair can do that. And so I'm going to continue to provide guidance, and I think if some people were saying in error that that constituent had left, I have been writing down every comment that has ever been before the board for the last 6 years, and this is my 330th, say, weekly business session that I've attended. And so I have a copy of every single one of those, and I have a habit of making comments on everything that I think requires one at the end. That action required one at the end, and whether you are in attendance or not, I'm going to be consistent with making those comments, whether you're here or not, because there's a benefit, I think, to the entire community. You said them in front of the entire community, and I will provide that response in front of the entire community for guidance for everybody. And so there was another reference made 2 weeks ago to if I ever do that to that constituent, that he's going to continue to stand up and protest. Being disorderly, abusive, and disruptive is rule number one. And that will not be tolerated here. It won't be tolerated at a budget committee meeting or a land use hearing. When we start to degrade these public hearings before our youth in our community, we lose something. We lose something vital, that example of respect. So we're going to respect the speakers, and we have been doing that for since I've been on the board pretty consistently. And we expect that same thing in return. Just because I'm sitting up here behind this dais does not mean that I relinquish my opportunity to speak and perhaps be critical. I've been receiving criticism for 6 years, and I will continue to receive criticism. This board will. I'm not opposed to that. That's okay. I sit here and I don't react most times, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't affect me. And it doesn't mean that I don't have the opportunity or the ability to react to that. And I will continue to do that. And I will continue to guide based on the rules that are adopted. And I hope that people can receive that guidance in a positive way. It doesn't have to be a negative. Just encouraging the most fruitful type of dialogue and testimony that we can receive. The second thing that I wanted to talk about was the fact that last Friday I got an opportunity to participate by invitation to the Grants Pass High School's Career Technical Education Program in their review, and it was inspiring, it was eye-opening, and I really would like to do that at the Three Rivers School District High Schools as well, to see the comparison between the programs that are offered at District 7 and those that are offered at Three Rivers. I have a feeling like there's a stark difference. There's positives and negatives. I grew up in the Illinois Valley and graduated in 97 out there, and I wouldn't substitute that experience for anything. A smaller school had the opportunity to engage with teachers that I still see to this day. My Spanish teacher, my social studies teacher, they're dear friends. And I'm not that you can't have that at the high school that you have, but the opportunities to do almost everything at a smaller high school, I wouldn't trade for anything. But I think we really need to look at ways that the community can engage And as we were going through that, I was thinking about people like Dave Martin, Martin's Printing, who's got a green room and doing things in our community relative to videography, and there's a video class and people going through those programs, and how can they engage with the community in a way that makes it relevant for a career choice? I mean, that's what we're really looking for, is people who are inspired at a high school level to perhaps do this as a career. How do you engage and discover the path that you need to take with somebody who's already doing it? And, I think that's really, I could think of somebody that needed to engage with that program everywhere we went. And I know this board also has a pretty deep Rolodex, and we want to be that bridge whenever possible. And so I also, later that day, I spoke at a cannabis, the impact of the cannabis industry on the bee industry. I know that's a little bit off topic, but frankly, it's foundational to a modern society, having a positive pollinators. And we all wouldn't be here but for that little female bee that runs around and pollinates stuff. There's just no way you could have a modern agriculture without it. So figuring out a way that people who are using pesticides and herbicides are not having a negative impact on that industry, and something we all rely on, is a continuing conversation we're going to have with the Department of Agriculture and OLCC and OHA, and trying to figure out a way to better educate farmers, new farmers, into this industry, that there's a way to do what they want to do and accomplish their herbicide and pesticides needs without being negative and adversely impacting our local bee population. So, like I said earlier, we have a budget committee meeting coming up here tomorrow at 4 to 6. It may not include, we're probably not prepared to fully vet the recently funded law enforcement. Those funds actually come in this November, so it's not, like Commissioner Morgan said, an automatic switch that tomorrow we open the juvenile shelter and detention facility. I've always likened it, when we shut it down in 2012-13, that fiscal year, it's like a coal-fired facility or a nuclear energy facility. You don't just start this thing back up the next day. It takes time. There's grant cycles to get in the queue for, because like everything, we try to leverage local dollars by state and federal dollars in order to pay for things efficiently. And so, but we will try to do that as soon as possible. I got a really great email text from Jim Goodwin, juvenile detention facility, last night. He's excited. Our sheriff is encouraged by this. I know the staff in our law enforcement divisions, countywide, be it courts or district attorney, what have you. I think this is going to be, it's a new outlook for Josephine County, and I'm excited to be a part of that. So thank you for all those who were participants, and it's great to have this success. Anything further? Board is,
I just realized my math was wrong. 24 years since high school. I know it's not a big deal, but I don't want to be untruthful from the dais. So.
The really important thing is that she's older than I am. Almost everybody is. Everybody is.
Well, I just realized you had your 20th reunion this year, and you're at your 50th. That's 50th. Impressive.
50th class reunion. Just a couple of names to throw you out for the young folks, and it's names you hear of all the time. Fields Home Improvement. Ron Fields and I were in Cub Scouts together at Roosevelt School. Gates Furniture. Gary Gates and I graduated from high school in 1967. Photo Den. That's Ron and Colleen Martin. Ron and I used to go drag racing together when we were 16, 17 years old. We were racing at 15, but we weren't licensed to do so. So there's an awful lot of names of things that, you know, and I don't know that any of them went through formal education in college. This was all stuff that they did. They had a thought in their mind, and they pursued it. Ron Fields comes from the same section of town that I came from. He's one of like six or seven brothers and a couple of sisters. They had to fight for food at the table. But look where he is today. And it's from a lot of hard work and a vision that he had up here. And he followed through on that vision. That's like what Commissioner Harris is saying. You can put your mind to anything. And just one final thought, whatever you do in life, before you do it, don't ever make your mother cry.
Good advice. Nothing further. It's 9:54.